dimensions. Be light, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest, and we take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is all about our readers' questions. Listeners, I was just talking about our readers. Our listeners' questions that you've sent in, and this is something that anybody can do. If you have any questions that you would like me to put to Gregory on a show, then it could be one, it can be two, it can be a whole show's worth. I mean, whatever that is, you know, Gregory. I mean, everybody will know that he can talk forever on one question. So, whatever, just send it in to me at the website is www.spirit-teaching.com. If you go on there and just click on any email and send it to me. So if you'd like to join us with a phone call today, it's not a readings type of situation, but you can talk to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, maybe join in with us about the subject that we're talking about, or like I say, maybe you've got a question that you would prefer to ask him directly about anything metaphysical or things that cross your mind, basically. Like I say, he's not going to give you a personal reading, but he can do that if you would like to get in touch under a different situation. And because he does Akashic readings, they're absolutely quite unique. So do go to our website and have a look. You might want one of those, and you can have a one-to-one telephone call with him, or according where you live, obviously, you can have a one-to-one with him. And it's very beneficial. Anyway, if you'd like to join us, it's toll-free in the US, 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's toll-free, and that's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free. And the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 1 p.m. EST, which is 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, which is 7 p.m. EST, and midnight UK time. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, as Sylvie said, or any of the other lists of services that we have to offer and different kinds of readings, please go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole of the show. I won't know about anything else that happens at that time because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else, wherever that may be. Please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got too much time to go through all of the information and chit-chat at the beginning of each show, because it will take up way too much valuable time. But I'm going to say goodbye for this week, and Sylvie will be here in the physical to help you with any of your questions or whatever that you have to ask. Okay, well, have a great show, everyone. Bye for now.
Thanks, Nick. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. Now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. and the White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information that we bring is always without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. I would just like to say that we have stopped our secondlife.com Sunday session for a while, but we'll be letting you know when that starts again. And hello, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be, dear friend.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. Something went wrong with my little microphone bird. Then. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you, little bird.
Okay. So I remember last week we finished talking, actually, we ended up talking about autism, but I was wondering whether we should do just a complete show on that one week rather than continuing with that question this week.
That is true.
Because I do have some more questions. We have had some emails in, and we have questions that have come from Sean, Nina, Sarah, Paul, Lorraine, and Dee, and they are in the UK. It doesn't say where, and I know it's the south. Well, I think some of them are in the southwest of the UK, anyway. Basically, they have a little discussion group, and they've been sending us in some questions, so that's great.
Yes.
And I understand there's some more coming in as well on some different subjects.
That, of course.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's
so
what it's all about.
Invigorating for people to come together in this way and discussing the work that we're producing. And also, of course, it means that they don't actually have to sit in circle with us, but are able to manifest these oftentimes quite awkward and perplexing situations of questioning.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with one, a subject that we haven't talked about for a long time,
yes.
Physical mediumship. You will actually have to explain to our listeners what that is, because not everybody's going to know what it is actually in the first place.
So do you want me to start?
Well, actually, I think so. Otherwise, the question will be pointless at the moment.
Quite
okay.
So.
Okay.
Yes. Well, physical mediumship, my dear friends, is the manifestation of spirit, either and in a physical way, either that be as a voice in a voice box, which will not be a part of the medium, that is using the medium's voice box, but actually using a manufactured one from the spirit world. And perhaps that would be a roving voice box or something like that. Physical mediumship is also, of course, to do with the deep trance state, the genuine deep trance state. And that is a facet of physical mediumship. Other forms of physical mediumship include actual materialization, transfiguration, which are different facets of physical mediumship. Materialization is the actual materialization using usually the energy and plasmic form of ectoplasm, which comes from the pancreas and various other aspects of the stomach, colon, and internal organs of the physical medium, and is usually either extruded from the nose, mouth, ears, eyes, or even through the skin. Sometimes it can be as a rod which appears through the stomach wall or even through the solar plexus. The other form then is to do with transfiguration, which is oftentimes a kind of ectoplasmic mask which fits on in front of the face of the medium. And if you saw it on a side-end view in profile, you would actually see as though the mask were made of tiny red cells or green cells. Usually it is a color because it's actually a situation of energy which is then, as it were, lacquered upon the energy of the face. that's not on the face itself, not on the cell structure of the physical face, but actually a lacquered face which appears by the way of spirit motivation and would be the face of loved ones and that kind of thing. So the situation with transfiguration is it is very particular. You have to be in the right place to be able to see it. Likewise, with materialization, you would have to be in a seance room or a constructed seance, which would actually take place in clinical and scientifically held technical supervision in order for the materialization to be properly verified and vetted, that it was accurate, usually from the medium being tied in a chair, gagged severely with a ball gag or something like that, and tied into the chair, usually with metal clasps or cable ties or something like that. Other forms of physical mediumship can also be constructed using energy, the energy of love, from a group sitting. So perhaps you would have 8 or 10 people who sit together on a regular basis and may well bring the manifestation of those in the spirit world through them, through each of their collective energy, building up a different kind of energy situation which does not come from ectoplasm. So it's not from one person in particular, but is actually used as the source of a collective. This has nothing to do, any of these, has nothing whatsoever to do with clairvoyance, as that is a completely different aspect and is not a physical transformation.
No, so you're not talking about either when somebody might say, you know, I saw my granddad come and visit me, it's plain as day one night, he sat on my bed and then he was gone, sort of thing.
No, no.
That, you know, because a lot of people might feel that's what you're talking about, but you're not, are you?
No, I am not. And nor is it when a person channels an energy, so say, from the spirit world, using their mind and their own voice box, using that situation, or perhaps maybe they even have their eyes open and that they feel that is the energy near to them. That is not physical mediumship. Nor, of course, is it clairvoyance necessarily.
Mm. Okay, so this
although it may be construed as being that.
Mm. So this is a specific environment that this is done. A physical medium, so and basically a physical medium's chemical structure, makeup, their genetics or whatever is actually slightly different to maybe somebody else who is not a physical medium, shall we say.
Yes, is that right? So. It's actually one person in a million.
That has the ability
it's the ratio,
to do that?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay, right. Yes.
It may well be, of course, that the manifestations which happen to the physical person are actually quite physical. So it may well be that they extrude things which ordinary people would not normally.
Mm.
So this may be in the case of there may be fleshy-like protuberances which come out of a particular orifice, which are not necessarily, for example, something which you can identify. It may well be that this comes out of the corner of the mouth, or the nose, or the ear,
eye. Why would that happen?
Well, it's actually to do with the spirit world. The communicators and those working with that person, oftentimes it may manifest in a situation where the person is not practicing, has not perhaps allowed the situation to transpire. Oftentimes it could happen to do purely and simply with them practicing various kinds of situations in daylight so that they can identify as to whether it's actually going to work or not. And obviously, if that's the situation that it happens in daylight, for example, then it's actually quite a rare situation for them to be practicing in that way.
Okay, so that leads us on to the first question. So if you could just explain why it's not done in daylight and how it is done, in what conditions?
Yes, of course. In many situations, dear friend, and I understand there are many people who would say, true physical mediumship has to happen in white light or red light or something like that. Well, that's just simply rubbish. It is that physical mediumship happens in many different kinds of conditions and takes on many different kinds of facsimile. It is not to say that a physical mediumship is not developed if it is only taking place in the dark. Similarly, it is not to say that physical mediumship only exists if it is only taking place in daylight or red light or some other such situation of environment brought about by to enable it to happen. It depends entirely upon what's the product, what's the development state of that medium has been, and the team, depending upon what energy it is. Oftentimes, mediums use the focus of there being an absence of light purely and simply because it's easier for them to manipulate and maneuver the ectoplasm from the from an engineering point of view, that is, from our side of life to your side. It's much easier to manipulate the ectoplasm when there is no light, purely and simply because they haven't got to then color the cell structure or anything like that in order for it to be a safe motivation.
Yes, so basically because
it has to be safe.
Ectoplasm
is
light sensitive.
Yeah.
So if the light actually becomes in contact with the ectoplasm, then it can shoot back into the medium's body and
can be very harmful.
Severely, in some cases.
In fact, life-threatening.
Yes.
At times. So great honour has to be respected within this situation. And it's not to say that one is lesser than another. People have to get off their high horses that they have built for themselves, thinking that they are better than someone else or whatever it is. It's just simply a different manipulation. It's high time many people dispensed with their egotistical ways.
Mm. Yes.
Most troubling. They're not spiritual people at all. They have such egotistical points of view that they think that they're better than someone else.
Mm. Yes. So basically, to manifest materialization in light, any sort of light, the chemical structure of the ectoplasm has to be sort of coated and changed by the spirit team in order to make it safe. Is that correct?
So
that's
then
in the development.
That is just one part of it. It may well be that, for example, there have been situations where specific mediums are actually dealing with the energy of love, and that through the serotonin, of course, the chemical structure of which the person may have an abundance of, that becomes an energy source and a directive power source for the spirit world to become so close that they are then able to manifest themselves using that energy of love as a chemical structure. Mm. To then enable them to build a voice box, a roving voice box, and that kind of thing. Similar, I have to say, to the work of David Thompson.
Right. Okay. Yes. So does that not rely on love, the love energy of the people involved, the sitters, the places where you might demonstrate?
Yes, it does. And, of course, that also means that it can put at risk sometimes the certain situations of that medium. It then would depend upon, of course, how well he is protected, obviously. The situation of development is most carefully traced so that those working with them are well practiced at protecting the medium at any given state or interference. Yes. Obviously, there will always be situations where great love is generated by the sitting during the seance, the early stages of the seance, and it is that love energy which then continues to enable the spirit world to manifest themselves in the physical light of day, or as it is within that situation, within the seance room, depending upon, of course, the conditions met. As I say, sometimes it may well be that for some mediums, like yourself, for example, we were able to manifest situations of ourselves using cell structure from grass. It did mean that all of the beings that were exhibited during that time were green, but that really didn't matter at all.
Brings a whole new meaning to little green men.
Yes.
So basically the question then, so hopefully everybody understands that. If you don't, then do call in. I know physical mediumship is still practiced in America and Australia and various other places, but it seems to be more prolific in the UK for some reason, and I don't know why. Maybe we can talk about that after this question that I'm going to say.
Yes.
Physical mediumship has gone through many changes, advances, and ectoplasm in the light, etc. Why now? Some people say that this is not possible and it's all trickery. How are we to believe what we are seeing is correct when there are so many charlatans out there?
Yes, well, the main thing, my dear friend, to do, and this is something which I understand that physical mediumship, those applying it, should look into as well, and that is perhaps along with their spirit team, of course. It has to be something that is manifestly available and that the properties within it are able to be utilized using modern methods of media situation. So I would suggest, my dear friend, that perhaps part of the road to take is, being that the medium is always or nearly always tied up in a chair, bound and gagged, and then left in a deep trance-like state, but oftentimes with a curtain across in front of them, or actually within some kind of fabric cabinet that has been made to utilize the energy. From our point of view, it would perhaps be that those mediums employing that kind of situation actually set up some kind of camera within the confines of the cabinet, so that the medium could actually be viewed on a screen to the side of it in some way, so that people could identify that the medium was already always going to be in one particular place. So therefore the manifestation of whoever it is outside of the cabinet is then truly something which everyone can identify as being someone else. Not obviously a sitter, because all of the sitters would need to hold hands to prove that to one another that everyone is bona fide and a part of the whole celebration of the circle.
Yes, okay. So for somebody that hasn't actually witnessed physical phenomena or been to a physical seance, then so what happens is basically you all sit around in a circle, and the medium is in the cabinet, as Gregory was saying, and bound and gagged, goes into trance, and then after a while the things happen, as in, well, basically it can be talking in the air, like he was saying, the roving voice box.
Yes.
Where either your loved ones or guides come and talk to you, and you can talk back to them, or the materialization, where they materialize parts of their body or a body for you to be able to feel and touch and
yes,
that sort of thing. Or all sorts of things go on, but for somebody who hasn't witnessed it or read about it or anything, you see, Gregory, they
yes,
might be wondering what is the point of it all.
Yes,
really.
And of course there would be ongoing experimentation as well by the spirit team to prove various kinds of situations of energy transference, for example, of the work of passing solid matter through solid matter and that kind of situation, which is, of course, quite difficult to perhaps perceive of yourselves, being that you're of solid matter, but that it is actually physically possible.
Proof, basically, of all of the sorts of things that can actually be possible under this controlled environment, in this situation.
Yes.
Yeah, so you get the clairvoyance and the readings and that sort of thing, so you get proof from your loved ones in that area and all of
yes,
the different areas of mediumship and psychic work, and this is just another aspect of that. So the other thing about that was, why is it more prevalent in the UK physical mediumship, it
partly
seems.
Really, because of the interest has become more within the development of it, but also there are many more groups on our side of life who are trying to make an impact upon those on your side of life, really because we recognize the need and the desire is there. That's not to say that the need, as in people are misguided or whatever, or are in some way waiting for some suckling pig to come along so that they can jump off the reality of their own world. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, in fact, that within many aspects of this whole control situation, it is that there are many thousands of beings on our side of life trying to come through to your side of life to bring proof, not just proof of their continued existence, but also proof of the manifestation of the entire universe. Mm. And so that human beings can perhaps understand that there is much more to the life of your physicality than that which you have so far perhaps been a party to.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, you know, if this is possible, it just, it's opening your eyes to the bigger possibilities of life. And
yes.
However that actually strikes you at the time, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Mm.
So the other question, part of the question is, there is such a craving for proof that ego and monetary gain can take over. So presumably this is to do with mediums, physical mediums, that monetary gain and ego can take over.
Yes.
Some people are feeding on the need of others, making claims that they should not be making in some circumstances. This is not good and brings a bad name to those who are genuine mediums. How can a person tell if someone is being genuine?
Yes, I do understand this, my dear friends. It is obviously oftentimes to the eye of the beholder, is it not? It is part way, obviously, if you are just purely talking about physical mediumship, then it is that the proof has to be proof positive. So it's not necessarily that when you go to see a physical medium that it's all about relatives and loved ones coming through or something like that. It may well be that the situation of philosophy or the situation of interaction and the actual mechanics of various experiments are what are important to the group. And it may well be that that provides you with the evidence. It is then not just about whether you are attending it for a session of parlor games, but actually to understand the basis, the scientific basis of those experiments taking place. And of course, the manifestation of those, whether they work or not, whether they actually bring proof or not.
Mm.
Part of this, of course, as well, is to do with the whole room. My advice is always that the whole room should be searched before anyone else enters it, and should be searched by people who are perhaps elected to do so from the group. So that would be then that perhaps it would be, should we say, that the group has never met before. It may be just 20 or 30 members of the public. So then they decide amongst themselves, perhaps just by drawing straws.
Mm.
And that means then, so long as those people are aware and alert, are not drunk or other ways incapacitated, that they can recognize that perhaps in their observance that they are looking for any items which may be electronic, looking for microphones or some other such thing which then could be construed as contravening the actual honesty and respect of the place and of the situation you are about to enter into.
Mm. So that all the voices that you hear, you know, are the spirit world, and the touches that you feel are the spirit world and not the medium walking around or
yes,
anything like that.
Which is actually the reason why I had suggested that perhaps some spirit team should in practice with the use of an actual small type of camera. Which is then monitored, and the monitor display, obviously it needs to be something which does not then interfere with the spirit manifestation. I am well aware that this could be so. It could actually be the case. I would suggest actually that what happens is that that manifestation may well be something which is kept in an enclosed unit, and that the screen is then subdued in some way by perhaps some coloured filter, which then means that a lot of the actual visual light does not come through, but that the shape and the outline of the person is still there. Obviously, as well, to have a time clock, which is then obviously displayed for others to see. It's basically so that an impartial witness would perhaps be au fait with this, perhaps would be lined up with this duty, so that the person could be seen at all times.
Absolutely, yes. There is rather a puritanical view at the moment going around that that you know the evidence has to be a certain way, it has to be loved ones, or else it's not you know of the right level or vibration or whatever. And that, you know, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, it's a shame.
I understand.
It's a shame
that
it. Yes, it's a shame that it's not. It's not so common, though, that you know that people all over the world can witness this at least once in their lives.
Yes,
because you know, for many, it would be just a once in a lifetime thing.
Yes, I have to say, in fact, in evidence of this, that people who put restrictions or say only this is physical mediumship are rather limiting their own viewpoint and also displaying very dogmatic principles, the same dogmatic principles many religious theocracies follow themselves, and therefore limiting themselves and their own ability to accept something outside of their own rationale merely shows that they are still very closed-minded and not able and unable, in fact, to accept different parameters which may exist within the universe of which they know nothing.
Absolutely. And they all sit in their physical circles, development circles, waiting for something to move, the trumpet to move, or a noise to be made, or whatever. Well, that's not loved ones. So what are they? They're waiting for phenomena, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's how it starts, isn't it?
Yes.
They're waiting
so.
For things to happen.
Yes.
For somebody, you know.
Which is, of course, completely wrong anyway.
Well, yes.
Wrong
but
energy.
So, you know, it's all very, very weird indeed. I guess if there were more physical mediums in the world, if there were 10 a penny, then this wouldn't be the case, wouldn't it? We wouldn't get this problem, would we, when things are rare?
That is quite true, yes.
People fight over it, don't they?
Yes.
Like, you either...
Absolutely.
And so you either revere these people or you hate them.
And so the whatever the form of mediumship is, it has to be typecast then into a certain specific reality of, I can tick that box because it has all of this in it. When in actual fact, it's actually not being observant of what I was talking about to do with the development, specific development of one particular medium, whoever it may be, clairvoyant, clairsentient, whatever that person is, however that person operates, is individual, as unique as every single being upon the planet.
The ectoplasm, or the, shall we say, the genetic structure, cellular structure, however you might like to call it, quarks and charms, isn't it? The physical medium has more quarks and charms than other people.
In the ancient state of it, yes, quite so. And they are from the colon, the pancreas, the gallbladder, and various other inner workings of the physical body. And that it just means simply... charms and quarks are actually part of the cell structure which exists in certain parts of that tracery.
And they run out? Does that get...
Yes, it becomes depleted after a while.
Right.
Yes.
After many years of using...
Yes.
Of being used as a physical medium or just as with age, generally?
With age, actually.
Right.
It is something which just gradually depletes. Usually the cut-off point is around 70 years or so.
So the younger the person is, the more probably the more vibrant the physical manifestation would be?
No, not necessarily. It doesn't have a gradient in that way. It's once it is established, it can be manifestly brought about quite exactly. It's not just necessarily that that is all that the team do. Don't forget, friends, that they, by enabling this, it's not ectoplasm that then enables dematerialization or something like that.
No.
So, for example, you may well also have the situation where a medium, that the whole situation starts in the seance room, shall we say, and the medium is actually present within the seance room, locked and chained, as I say, behind and within their cabinet, and then perhaps at the end of the seance that the person is taken through a solid wall, dematerialized and rematerialized in another room of the house altogether.
Hmm. Yes, that's happened.
So that is not ectoplasm that creates that. That is the spirit world enabling full dematerialization of a living being to take place.
So that's actually not anything to do with the medium?
No. It is not. That's purely a manifestation of the spirit world. Nothing whatsoever to do with the medium.
Because that's the chair as well, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely so, yes. Solid matter through solid matter, yes, quite so.
Mm.
And not actually anything visible that you would see if it had taken place. So, for example, if you were watching the monitor itself, the medium and the chair he or she was sitting in would actually dematerialize and completely vanish.
Hmm.
And then re-energize within a different room and space. Sometimes, I understand, it has been known for the medium and their chair to actually float out of a window. And I understand in America this happened 20-something floors up in the air.
What medium was that, do you know?
I do not remember, have that name to hand. I'm waiting for someone else to come and tell me. Maurice usually has this kind of information.
Because physical mediumship actually started in America, didn't it?
Yes, quite so. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell everybody about that?
Well, it's really to do with the whole of mediumship, really.
Right.
And modern mediumship.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course, the Fox sisters.
Yeah, but in the early days, it was more like, there was more natural, shall we say, physical phenomena, wasn't
yes,
there?
Do you know what absolutely I mean? So. And quite different types of physical phenomena as well. The Bang sisters, for example, were extreme in that respect, in that they did not, their manifestation and series of manifestation didn't take place as actual spirit beings manifesting by the side of them, but actually through art and manifested upon the canvas. To begin with, they actually practiced it using oils and paints. And then after a while, it became that the spirit world were actually able to utilize their own kinds of materials, which ended up in being cell structure of butterflies' wings. And that was the molecular structure of it, which was then enhanced within the colour, and that was actually participation art, precipitation art, which was created, in fact, within 20 minutes. You would have the full face or vehicle of a person, of a loved one, tied to someone who was in the audience.
And then they would recognize them.
Yes, and these weren't people who were planted. They were actually, and the manifestation happened before their eyes. And the Bang sisters, neither of them, actually touched the canvas at all at that stage of their mediumistic skill. Unfortunately, I understand alcohol got the better of them. And they both passed in poverty.
Oh. So, there's lots of stories of the olden days. This is a good subject. I think we'll stick to this subject for today, if that's okay.
Well, thank you.
In the olden days, shall we say, there was, I don't know, it seemed to happen easier, more easily.
Yes, it happened more easily because there was not the interference. You had a great deal of interference at this present time, not just with radio waves, but also many other different kinds of particulates. Do not forget, friend, that when we are talking about radio waves, we are actually also understanding that the manifestation of electricity may be passed from one place to another using radio waves. This then perhaps underlines the accent that we are talking of here, whereas within the time when the Bank Sisters and others were around, in late Victorian times, that kind of situation. But of course, that in actual fact, physical mediumship began far thousands of years ago, and began in ways of the manifestation, for example, in native culture, when sitting in the sweat lodges and that kind of thing, as their ancestors would manifest themselves in a physical way.
Mm.
If their various native counterparts had the manifestation to be able to encourage that, but also because of the vast amounts of serotonin that were present in their physical body systems, as within many inherent species of humanity, that is the indigenous peoples, that you would have not just within their deep-seated spirituality, but also the fact that they had a great fondness and love for their universe, for their planet. And that was something then which created, of course, a perfect connectivity with their ancestors. So it's not something that's just to do with modern-day mediumship or the lack of it. It's actually, of course, understood as well. Atmospherics, environmental changes, environmental situations which are happening all of the time in your physical side of life mean that there are most certainly many different situations of great problem for those on our side of life to produce and manifest others in a physical way.
Mm.
It's very difficult nowadays.
Mm.
It's not insurmountable because the energy is changing, because those on your side of life are perhaps beginning to realize and utilize some other aspects of their love vibration, perhaps to awaken themselves, maybe oftentimes because the actual physical, financial vehicle that you are used to is actually running out because you cannot continue in the way that you are. Don't forget our ticking time bomb.
Mm. Yes, well, and the thing is with physical mediumship, it takes so flipping long, doesn't it?
Well, it can
to
do,
develop.
Yes. Not necessarily. It can do. It really does depend upon the stability of the people involved at the time.
Mm. It takes a long time and it's a lot of sacrifice for, shall we say, the other people if it's done in the, say it's a physical medium.
In the traditional sense.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, quite so.
It can take a long time from people giving up their you know, evenings or whatever each week to do that, to go and sit and give their love.
Yes.
In that way.
Yes. However, with other people, it may well be that it just happens in a few short weeks. And that doesn't mean to say that it's a lesser being or a lesser interactive state from the spirit world, because it's quicker. The problem has many people reaching for the dishonorable button that they have of other people, purely and simply because that situation has manifested itself so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It may well be that the spirit team have great urgency, recognizing perhaps certain elements of the emergent urgency of your environmental situation. So perhaps the manifestation is coming about because of that, because the team perhaps they represent are to do with the emergence of other informations, perhaps to do with environmental controls or some other such manifestation.
Yes. And just the fact that there's no jealousy in the, you know, no negativity sort of thing in the development of this, of these people, maybe that develop quickly.
Yes, quite so.
Mm.
I also have to say, my dear friend, and cite the situations of energy to do with nuclear fission and nuclear fission material at present on your side of life has actually created so much pollution on your side of life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the Americas, although it's rife there, also Australia, but also Europe as well, because every single situation that you have of nuclear energy fusion efficiency is something which is brought about into the atmosphere daily, affecting aquifers, affecting everything, the water table, everything that you eat and drink.
So how does a nuclear fissure affect the spirit world and your communication with us?
Well, it actually creates difficulty because of the different kinds of neurological effects that it has upon you as physical beings. So if it's to do with your ability to communicate or something like that, it's like putting up a smoke screen. Yes?
Yeah.
As a kind of physical barrier. So there are situations of combatants to do with this that those in the spirit world are trying to manifest. However, it doesn't mean to say that, oh, well, that's all right then. We can go on using abundant nuclear material in order to provide all of your electricity simply because the spirit world are able to get over the problem. That would then entail that the physical world will get over the problem too. Well, it won't.
But in the olden days with physical mediumship,
it didn't exist.
It didn't exist.
No,
so that's why there was more of it about years ago.
Yes, quite so.
In the war years, it was very common, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. And it was very common then because of the amount of love that was actually in existence, believe it or not,
yes,
in the war years.
The camaraderie, you mean, between people.
Yes, not just that, but also the love attachment that went on within very deep-seated relationships. Extremely deep, that life was really respected at that time, meant so much more to people because perhaps they thought that their life expectancy was so much shorter because of being at war, therefore raise the anxiety level, but also raise the level of serotonin fired at one another because it was so more had to be immediate, yes?
More sharing, more caring.
Yes, absolutely.
Loving.
So. Yes.
So the other thing to do with this is, and I do thank all of you guys for sending this question in.
Yes,
right, yeah. But how does somebody know if they are a physical medium? I mean, that's the other thing. You know, you can sit and for phenomena for years and not really get anything.
Yes, well, let's just talk about that for a moment, because part of the problem is also the emergence of a physical mediumship circle. Then, unfortunately, the powers that be within the knowledge of this curriculum activity...
Mm. Because a lot of people won't even have ever heard of it.
Yes, quite so. So the whole aspect of this then means that they will then apply their straitjacket to the whole situation and say, oh, well, yes, well, if you're going to develop the physical mediumship, you've got to do it this way, which is absolute rubbish, because in actual fact, it will depend entirely upon the mechanisms involved, the physical structure of the physical being, the structure that is being brought about by the spirit world in their manufacture, if you like, collaboration with the physical host. So it will depend entirely also upon the energy of the sitters involved as well, for some seance situations more than others, depending upon what has to be manifested at that time. Perhaps they will use an abundance of a certain kind of chemical energy coming from the physical sitters, or some other abundance, sometimes involving serotonin at great levels, yes, but at other times using other chemical activity, which is why it is that all sitters always have to make doubly sure that they're drinking plenty of water, eating the right foods, actually addressing this situation with greatest respect. Also, the cleanliness of the room is very important too. It's not to say, however, that other restrictions placed upon seance situations given by those involved as well-knowing or well-meaning, is not necessarily going to be pertaining to that particular group. The reason for this is that the energy from that particular group may well use some other or utilize some other facet of physicality not yet recognized by those on your side of life. It may well be that they only need the sitters to create an abundance of something else. Perhaps it's salt. Perhaps it's magnesium in a pool of water. It may be any amount of things. Maybe lemon juice. It may be some other thing, not physically added at all, but something which is to do with a series of thoughts that the sitters have to manifest in order to bring about that the correct field of interplay between themselves and the spirit world. It may be that it's not the medium at all, but that it's a collective, as I say.
Yes.
The manifestation may not necessarily take place at once. It may be over several weeks or even months.
Or even years.
Yes. Quite so. And the kind of manifestation may not be of knowing of the people sitting within the group. So it's no good guessing at the situation or whatever. Obviously, it would be useful if one person within the group was perhaps some kind of a trance medium or some kind of situation like that, but not necessarily essential. What is essential is that the people within the group actually have a free mind, a free will mind, not to put parameters upon the situation, like a governmental source, but actually to allow the situation to manifest, however that appears to be. And then you will truly see the individuality of that group specific.
Yes, and considering that you know, a physical circle and the seance room in that the environment is actually supposed to be so pure and clean and thoughts of love and everything, it's I don't know, it's all gone a bit astray at the moment in the UK.
Yes, absolutely. It's not either, my dear friend, to say that you must have a certain number of people either. The point is...
No, but it's the attitude. They have to have the right attitude.
The right attitude is what you have to have, and that is all that you have to have.
Yes.
So it may well be that you create this kind of situation with just three people.
Yes, absolutely.
Or even two.
Better than eight with attitude.
Yes, and negativity, and ownership, and...
The right foods.
Yes.
You said about the sitters...
At times, it may well be down to that. I'm not saying that it always will be, because purely it will be down to the combustion or the situation of the individual medium or mediums involved. I am not saying that it is a hard and fast case. It does not fit specific criteria, because it will depend entirely upon how they are able to manifest that situation or deal with the various chemical interactions of the physical being present.
And for our listeners that don't know, sometimes to raise the energy in this situation, the sitters sing
they
to raise to raise the energy in the room.
But you don't necessarily have to do
that. And that's where if somebody's a trance medium, it's good to have somebody like that to be able to say how, you know, it's supposed to be proceeding best for that group.
Quite. Sometimes as well, it may well be that the whole situation has to be conducted in absolute silence. And that is the key for the medium to let go, and also for the spirit world to bring the manifestation forward. Sometimes it may well be that is the case in point. So what human beings, physical beings, have to do is to get off their horses of what they think physical mediumship is and the manifestation of it. If it is something which is beautiful and not of the physical world, then it is physical mediumship. Whether that person manifests those from our side of life who are bringing messages or not is immaterial.
No, or humour. That's great too, isn't it?
Absolutely so. And it may well be humour through lights or humour through situations, sounds or noises or actually just doing things which bring the vibration of enchantment.
Mm.
For that is the spirit world.
Absolutely, yes. It's not all hoity and gracious and that sort of thing. And as long as it's done in love and with prayer.
Yeah. We don't stand on ceremony, friend. We're not here with any other manifestation other than love.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be, dear friends. Thank you.
And thank you very much for your question, everybody, your joint question. I thought that was really interesting. I hope you did too. If you'd like to know anything else about physical mediumship, I think we've got some more information on our site. And that's www.spirit-teaching.com. So, my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.